Good morning. 7:44. Yeah, 7:44. I'm an hour late today, at least. June the 30th, last day of June. Tomorrow is July 1. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I slept in this morning. It was almost 6:30 before I got out of bed. So, it took me a while to wake up. I still haven't had coffee or breakfast. 17.5 miles. 17.5 minute first mile. That's not a great first mile, but I'm walking. Oh. So yesterday was not an upbeat day. Those will happen. Today is a day to move on. So one of the things that I'm doing is slowly. Good morning. In the gaps between writings, I'm working on getting the books ready to roll out, so that when I give this manuscript back to Scott, I'll have books ready to go the next day or that day, whatever. So I can get a book published while he's working through the first round of edits, and then perhaps come back and handle the edits and then go out and do another one. But my goal is to get these things ready. I can't write all the time. I just can't do it. I need to be spending 10 hours a day writing. It isn't happening. So rather than beat myself up for it, I'm going to try to see what I can do about doing things that aren't, strictly speaking, writing in between the gaps. So I've established a Kobo account, and I've migrated my Nook account from my Pubbit account for Barnes & Noble to Nook Press. And I updated the files so that the files over on Nook... Apparently Ravenwood was not current. It was an old version. It was also not for sale. So not only was the cover out of date and the content out of date, the book wasn't actually even for sale anymore. In spite of that, I sold 6 books. Not of Ravenwood, but of Light in the Dark, the novella on Barnes & Noble. So, well, hey, we'll see. I put it up. It's posted. I got a couple of books trying to work through the process on Kobo. Having a clean EPUB makes this process, which I remember as being somewhat problematic, actually a whole lot easier. So the process, for those of you who are following along at home, the process involves creating the Word, the OpenOffice document, and translating that into HTML, and then cleaning the HTML up, because even OpenOffice puts a lot of crap in it. I also have apply a style sheet. And embed the style sheet in the file when I create the EPUB. Now once I get it all marked up, the markup is relatively straightforward. It's a loud plane. Once I get it all marked up, it's pretty good. Getting it marked up is kind of a pain. I take the HTML and load it into Sigil, and then add all the artwork, the paragraph, the scene breaks, and the chapter headings, and the frontispieces, and all of that, and then I can generate a valid EPUB, because Sigil won't export unless it's valid. So it cuts down on a lot of, oh, you've left off this, that, or the other little thing. And then I compile the EPUB using the Kindle e-reader previewer. It's a piece of downloaded software that will take an EPUB and convert it to a MOBI file that's consistent with the way the ebooks are handled using the various devices in the Kindle infrastructure, the Kindle ecology. This is where I discovered things like e-ink devices handle italicized text differently from app-based devices. So the native e-ink Kindles don't inherit the italics property the same way that web-based tools like Kindle Fire or Kindle HD do. So, or even the Kindle app, for that matter. So, a lot of the work that I've done in the past to get this straightened out has to do with style sheets. And as long as I keep the style sheets consistent across books, that should be pretty clear, pretty clean. So today is probably going to be barbecue day. I think I'm going to make barbecue ribs. It's either that or a big pot of chili. I'm not sure which. Yesterday was, temperature-wise, yesterday wasn't terrible. It was hot. It was like 95. But it wasn't 100. And in the afternoon, a thunder shower blew up. We apparently got a pretty good soaking overnight. Everything very soggy this morning out in my yard. Everything except the one piece of grass that I need to be very soggy. So, yeah, pain in the tuchus. Other than that, I don't know how much work I'm going to get done today. I did watch, I have taken up the on-demand gauntlet. The Netflix gauntlet. There's a lot of stuff that shows up on Netflix that I think is interesting. So I've been watching the odd Netflix thing here and there. I still haven't gotten through the first season of Babylon 5. It reminded me that. It seems to me I've got the whole thing, movies and all, on DVD. I haven't been paying much attention to any of that stuff because I'm trying to get Greedock off my desk. Well, if I write anything today, if I can get 1,000 words in today, that'll be 1,000 words more than I got in yesterday. I'm not going to beat myself up for it. It's one of the things that my therapist is helping me deal with. I've talked about it before, I know. Be in the day. Today is day. Today is now. Today I can choose. You can't necessarily choose to be productive. That seems to be... I can choose to try to be productive. I can choose to do some work. Whether or not the work is productive is a problem. Is it's a judgment call. So what is productive? Putting words on the page. Yeah, I can put words on the page, but if I have to turn around and take them all out again, that's not productive. I like the way the story is going, and if I could settle in, I'm pretty sure it would flow. But getting to the point where I don't have kids or wife or anything else, health, swollen feet, swollen hands. I ate too much salt yesterday. Grocery runs. I'm gonna make a grocery run this morning too. Shoot. Almost forgot about that, but... that's got to happen before lunch, so it has to be this morning. Might be when I get back, so if this thing posts late, it's because I went home and got my grocery list and left again. Oh, the glamorous life of a full-time author. I'm really looking forward to the day when actually what I do during the day, most of the day, is work on my work. The problem I'm having with Greedock is it's not really my work. I say that. I hope that's... Actually, I don't hope that's true. I hope that's not true. Why am I having trouble with Greedock? Other than it's not my genre. I should have gotten Netflix out and done Goodfellas, Monkpool. But I think I've got a handle. I just need to apply the butt to the chair. Turn the brain off and turn the fingers on. It's usually the most effective way to do it. But it's a gorgeous Sunday morning. It's middle 60s. It's humid. My shirt is all sticking to me. In spite of the fact that I'm not working particularly hard this morning. And it's 17. Was it 17 and a half minutes for the first mile? It's going to be 18 and a half or 19 and a half for the second mile. Just because I'm not walking very fast, I think. Sun's up. It's up pretty high in the sky already. Given how early it is. Of course, it's nearly 8 o'clock. Slow-moving vehicle. Pause to take a turn where I'm going to try to walk. And it's like, you know, if I start walking now, you're gonna have to stop in the middle of the street and wait for me. Move. Get out of the way. I realize I have the right of way, and I realize that a lot of drivers aren't willing to accept the waiver of right of way by my hand gesture, but so be it. You can go or I can argue about it. Your choice. So there's a lot of stuff going around yesterday on the internet. There was lots of things that were wrong on the internet yesterday. It was quite shocking. I was terribly, terribly upset because I found several things. The Pledge of Allegiance thing was only the beginning yesterday. It's like, really? People don't understand that Under God was added as a response to McCarthyism in the 50s. Has nothing to do with the Founding Fathers. Has everything to do with the fear, uncertainty, and doubt that McCarthyism engendered. Not much unlike the fear, uncertainty, and doubt that the war on terrorism is engendering. There was a Virginia Attorney General wants the local court to revisit their crimes against nature provision in their laws. A provision that has been deemed unconstitutional by Supreme Court case law, and the law in Virginia, the courts in Virginia won't go against the Supreme Court, understandably. It's pointless if you Supreme Court has already ruled. You convict somebody based on the ruling that's counter to what the Supreme Court has already set precedent for, then it's an automatic appeal, it's an automatic slam dunk. Courts in Virginia look like stoops. So somebody posted it, and I made some flip comment, and the next poster came up and said, so did anybody actually read this, or are you just responding to the headline? And it was a fair criticism, because I was only responding to the headline, which is a bad habit. It's one that I've been working on cultivating, and instead it's one I need to be working on stomping out. So the problem is that there's just so much crap that gets thrown up. It's like, no, I'm not going to read your link bait. Go away. I've got some sort of dirt, pebble, stick, something in my shoe. Pain. Anyway, so yeah, I spent a lot of yesterday mindlessly refuting stupidity. I was like, oh, okay, well, so I went back and I read the article anyway, and then I went back and read the actual case law that was around this, that this conservative attorney general in Virginia was trying to have revisited. And the basis for his revisitation was that he has a child molester who is going to go free because he has no grounds upon which to hold him. And on the one hand, I can certainly sympathize with the AG from the standpoint of, oh, look, here's a perp who was preying on a 17-year-old girl. And I'm going to have to let her go because we don't have any laws under which we can, even if we find him guilty, any laws under which we can sentence him to anything meaningful. And so, you know, having laws under which they can sentence them meaningfully seems appropriate. But why is it that their laws don't allow him to don't allow for sentencing for a 47-year-old man having consensual sexual contact with a minor? The answer is, even though the age of consent in Virginia is 18, which would make this a case of statutory rape, they don't have statutory rape as a law, apparently. It's covered under sexual contact for children under certain ages. And the cutoff is 15, it's not 18. So apparently they changed the age of consent at some point and forgot to update the rest of the laws that go with it, which is, you know, completely human. Typical legislator. So instead of trying to go back and revisit this other law, which, by the way, is largely aimed at gays, and for which it was overturned as being overly broad, why don't you go back and fix the laws against sexual contact with children? Why don't you go back and fix those laws? Because nobody's going to argue about fixing those laws. You're not going to have to stand on a podium and pound for those laws to be repaired. Just go to the legislature. Look, we had to let this perp go because we didn't have any law we could sentence him under because there's this gap. Would you fix it? But, of course, that doesn't have the same kind of political capital as, oh, well, no, we aren't going to go after gays, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. This is to protect children, yes, yes. I'd never use this to go after gays. That's already been shown to be unlawful. So I'd like you to re-enable it so that we can go against child molesters. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. No. I'm old, perhaps I'm overly cynical, but this just doesn't add up for me. We've got big problems. Education, economy, foreign policy, poverty. Stop trying to regulate sex. And 1920 on the second mile. I knew it was going to be a slow mile. My legs are barely ticking over. But I did get out and walk. Tomorrow is another day. Actually, it's another month. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.